You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
People often reach out to me who are troubled by a lack of assurance of eternal life. Now, some of these folks have walked down an aisle in church. Maybe they prayed a prayer, maybe joined up, possibly even have been baptized. And usually this person thinks that they left that church service or whatever encounter they had and they were saved. But something since that time has happened, and maybe now they no longer are saved. And sometimes the person wonders, well, did it take with God? Sometimes people will actually say to me, I know that I have trusted in Jesus Christ. And so I have a question for all of us today who would say, I have trusted in Jesus Christ to save me. The question is this, for what did you trust Jesus? Did you trust Jesus to forgive you of your sins in the past? But however, you believe that the future is sort of up to you to do certain things, to achieve certain accomplishments, or maybe to not sin anymore, or maybe to sin a lot less than you used to. And your trust in Jesus actually then was a partial faith, wasn't it? It was, you really weren't trusting in Him for eternal life. You were trusting in Him to give you another chance to earn it on your own. You were trusting in Him sort of to wipe the slate clean and start all over with Him. And maybe if you can keep it up long enough and do well enough, by the end of your life, you'll be saved. Now, friend, this is not the way that I explain the gospel at all. I don't think that's a biblical understanding of salvation. Now, let's go to the Bible. John chapter 5. I want to look at a great verse here in the Bible. John chapter 5. And verse number 24. Now, this verse has three guarantees spoken by Jesus Christ Himself about our salvation. As we read this, see if you can pick out the three promises Jesus is making to us. Here we go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What's the promise here? Well, that if a person hears what Jesus is saying, and that person believes in God the Father, who has now sent His Son, Jesus, the redeeming Messiah, into the world to accomplish salvation's plan, that they have three things. By believing in God, who in dual nature, in the Father and the Son, has provided a payment for all our sins, then that person whose faith is in the salvation accomplishment of God, they have these guarantees from Jesus Christ. Here they are. He says, hath everlasting life. Now, the word hath is a beautiful word. Amen? That's good. If I have something, that means that something is my present possession. It's not that he says, if you do so and so, one day you can get everlasting life. No, he says, if you hear my word and believe on him that sent me, you have everlasting life. Amen. So what is Jesus offering? Life. And the description of that life is, he says, it's everlasting life. Well, if you have everlasting life as a present possession from God, then where would you go whenever you die? Well, if you have everlasting life this moment, you would still have it whenever the moment comes when you die. Is that good? Yes. If you don't still have that everlasting life whenever you die, well, it was an everlasting life this moment. Nor could it be said that it was everlasting life whenever Jesus gave it. Now, friend, now we're doubting. But what did he say? He said, if you hear my word and believe in him that sent me, you have everlasting life. Well, there will never be a point in time that the everlasting life Jesus said they have would not be everlasting anymore. If it's not everlasting forever, then it wasn't everlasting ever at any time. You see, Jesus is not playing mind games with people like that. Promise number one, you have everlasting life. Now let's go to promise number two in John 5:24. He says, and shall not come into condemnation. Now the promise that I have everlasting life ought to be enough that I would never doubt it again. And yet Jesus doubles up now and he promises it from another angle. Those people will not come into condemnation. Now, why would that be? Because this plan that God the Father and Jesus the Son have worked in the world, the cross work of Jesus as the propitiation, the satisfactory payment for our sins forever. Because they have accomplished the plan that would satisfy God's wrath over our sin, then, well, we'll never be condemned for our sin. Why? Because Jesus was condemned for our sin. And where the fiery wrath of God's fury over our sin burned Jesus to death at the cross at Calvary, God's wrath will never burn again. So, friend, when you believed in Jesus, I hope you did, well, then you were placing yourself at the scene where God burned your sin. And that fire will never burn in that place again. Your sin's all burned up. It's already gone. Jesus took it away. And because he's a faithful redeemer, then he has redeemed. And therefore, God will never produce a new condemnation and put it on believers. That's so good. It's so good. So, friend, if you believed in Jesus, that he, along with the Father, accomplished salvation's plan to be a sin-bearing, death-sacrificing Redeemer, then he said that you have eternal life. And he said that you will never come into condemnation. Now, Jesus is not the kind of shepherd that would run away in the face of some condemnation. He's a faithful Savior. He's a faithful Redeemer. And promise number two is that you would never come into condemnation. Sometimes the problem is that we condemn ourselves. And sometimes we see some behavior on our own part, it shames us, and we condemn ourselves and we say things like, well, I don't think if I had really been saved, I would do that. Well, now, friend, the Bible is full of people who were like you and disappointed in their actions. But that could never throw shadow on what Jesus accomplished with the Father at the cross. Amen. You have eternal life. You'll not come into condemnation. And he says here in the end of verse 24, they have passed from death unto life. And so if I have passed from death and now I'm in life and I am here because of the cross work of Jesus Christ, then I'm never going back to death. That's an impossibility. Why? Based on his word, based on his saviorship. He is the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. And his payment at the cross paid it all. I will never now be able to recross that bridge that brought me out of death and into life and somehow enter back into death. Why? Because Jesus is on the watch. He's the one that guaranteed my eternal life. I didn't cook this up on my own. I just heard his word and believed on him that sent Jesus. And I know what he did in my place when he paid my sin. Therefore, friend, I just don't doubt my salvation. And you don't have to doubt yours either if you rest your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look back one chapter earlier. In John chapter 4, Jesus gives his word to a woman. We call her the woman at the well. Now, she was a bundle of trouble and contradiction. This woman had a lot of sin and had a lot of pain in her life. But I want to turn your attention to what Jesus told that woman at the well. John 4 and verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you see how simple this proposition was from Jesus to the woman? If you take the water that I'm offering you, this water is so sweet, it's so everlasting that you'll never thirst again because it satisfies your need. And there's no other well that can do for us what that well of eternal life could do. We don't need another well, friend. I want you to see this woman's reply. John 4, now verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Amen. What a great reply. Well, Lord, give it to me right now, the water from your well. That's what I want. And I won't ever have to go to any other well and get any other water, because it'll be a well of water in me springing up into everlasting life. So, friend, when a person believes in Jesus to save them into eternal life, they get full forgiveness of sin. They get eternal life. They get a seat at the table of God. Amen. And whenever they die, they'll go to heaven because Jesus is a faithful shepherd. I'm going now to John chapter 10. More great words spoken of Jesus and the Father's salvation plan revealed now into the world. John chapter 10 now. And pick it up in verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So if you're the little troubled sheep that understood that God sent a shepherd for you, when you believed in him, he's the shepherd that will deliver you all the way into his Father's sheepfold. Amen. And the Father's involved with keeping you also. He says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, because my Father is greater than all. He's going to say now that he and the Father are one. Jesus and the Father both are holding the believer in salvation's plan. Amen. And so, friend, there's no reason to go to any other well at all. If you put your faith in Jesus, what is there to no longer understand? What is it that keeps you from full assurance that you belong to God both now and forever in heaven? And friend, if you doubt it before, won't you trust in him 100% now with all the faith you have? Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Focus on the Bible. While you're here, I want to share another opportunity with you. Grace Farm is a youth camp and training center created to train young Christians to defend and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you know any kids between the ages of 12 and 18 who would benefit from Bible teaching and life-changing memories, please check out our website, gracefarmonline.com to learn more and register for the appropriate camp session. That's all for today, but we can't wait to join you for our next episode of Focus on the Bible.